Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
Boy, oh boy, I know for a fact that my friend and co-host wants to flame Josh Allen right now.
Oh, and not just Josh Allen.
Okay.
I had a generational day hate watching this past weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay, we'll get right into it. I guess let's put Buffalo up on the docket, man. Buffalo falls short to the Denver Broncos. I watched that game. I'm assuming you did too.
Absolutely.
Do you remember what you said to me yesterday or last episode, right? When you said your friends that were Texans fans, right? They tried to make the argument that CJ Stroud had a great game aside from the turnover plays.
Yes.
Right? Now, I did not agree with that then. I absolutely don't agree with that now, you know, when it comes to CJ Stroud and his game past weekend. I will say, though, I do feel like Josh Allen, he didn't play great, but like he played good aside from the four turnovers. Like, I feel like that applies more to him than to CJ Stroud.
It doesn't apply to either one in your slightest to me.
Fair. Now, again, you cannot win an NFL playoff game, turn the ball over five times. The Buffalo Bills did that. Josh Allen had four interceptions. James Cook had a horrible fumble in the red zone. You just can't do that. You cannot do that. Josh Allen, he failed. He failed the Buffalo Bills. I said it on here. I've been saying it to anybody who would listen. This was their best chance to win it. Right? I mean, Josh Allen being the best player standing in the playoffs.
Not to mention they are, well, never mind. That's more for the Texans.
Yeah. I mean, they failed. Josh Allen failed. Again, I don't think he played great, but I do think he had good moments. But I mean, you can have three good moments, but when you have four turnovers in the playoffs, it's just hard. Damn near impossible to overcome that.
Because I think it was three picks and then the fumble.
I think he threw four picks.
Fumbled.
No, you're I think you're right. I'm thinking of CJ. CJ threw four picks.
Yeah.
CJ threw four picks. Yeah, dude.
Josh Allen, he threw two.
Was it two? And then two fumbles?
I think.
Because he had four turnovers, I believe.
Yeah, because Jared Cook, he was the only other person who fumbled, right?
Right.
Then yeah, it was two fumbles, two picks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, dude, Josh Allen, they came up short. And, I mean, they had chances, right? They had chances to beat Denver. You know, you go to overtime and you expect to have a chance to win. Now, obviously, the fallout from all this, not only, you know, Josh Allen is taking a lot of heat, but the Buffalo Bills decided to make changes. Sean McDermott is out as the head coach. And I'll just say this before I let you go.
The GM.
I don't know in what world in which you fire Sean McDermott and you not only keep Brandon Bean, but you promote him.
Yeah.
I don't know how that makes sense. He has failed to draft well and develop well. He's drafted like two Pro Bowlers in the past like 5-6 years. I mean, let's rattle off the list, right? I mean, after Josh Allen, you take Ed Oliver, cool, he worked out. You take Dalton Kincaid, he works out, cool. Keon Coleman, we don't know, he might be a bust.
Yeah, the whole he's literally like the face of being a bust right now. With the Cam Newton meme that's going around.
Right.
Not even just being a bust, just being a bad player in general. They Photoshop any and everybody on that meme when you're not playing well.
Right. I mean, you could just go up and down Buffalo's roster. I mean, you can't even name the guys they draft because like most of them haven't panned out, right? James Cook, you got lucky with him.
Yeah.
But like, who you traded for Stephon Diggs, that worked out. Then he walked. Then he walked, right? You signed Von Miller to that massive deal. That only lasts for about 2-3 seasons. Then he's gone, right? Like,
you get Amari Cooper, that only lasted about a season.
Right. Like, you just have not done a good job of surrounding your franchise quarterback with a winning roster. You just haven't.
Their leading receiver was old man Brandon Cooks.
Right. Khalil Shakir has been, like, the best receiver they've had the past 2 years. No shade to Khalil Shakir. He's steady, but you're not winning a Super Bowl with Khalil Shakir as your number one receiver. I mean, you're not. And I'm not absolving Josh Allen of any blame. I'm not. I'm just stating the facts here. I don't know how Sean McDermott could lose his job and Brandon Bean not be following suit.
Right. And in my opinion, if it was going to be either or, it should have been
Brandon Bean,
yeah, not Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott completely changed the culture in Buffalo. I think he won them there, took him to the playoffs for like the first time in don't even know how many years.
Right.
Won their first few playoff games. And like you said, the problem has been much more of a
roster construction.
A roster construction thing than a coaching perspective.
Right.
And now in this game, I think that like you said, you hit it right on the nail, the Buffalo Bills as a whole, they fell short. Josh Allen leading the charge.
Yep.
Because it wasn't only him, or you take away any of those turnovers, they probably win that game. I think that if you run a look at one turnover specifically, you should be looking at the turnover right before the half. I mean, I think that was just an egregious fumble for Josh Allen. It was just unnecessary. Worst case scenario, you just go into the half with no points. He fumbles. They literally get the ball with 2 seconds left, kick a field goal, go up three. Then throughout the rest of the game, you have to put your team in a position to kick a game tying field goal.
Right.
Which if that you don't do that, that could have been a game winning field goal.
Right.
And then y'all go into overtime where you were 0-6 and now 0-7.
Right.
In the playoffs.
Right.
Which is insane.
Which is, I mean, I think that's part of why Sean McDermott got the boot. Like,
but see, the thing is,
I'm not saying it was right. I just, you know what I'm saying? Because when you keep hitting that wall, and something has to give at some point. And to Sean McDermott, you know, or really to the Buffalo Bills credit, I guess, you know, Sean McDermott, he's fired coordinators, right? He's gotten rid of guys. You know, he's lost coordinators. He's tried, right? Eventually, the train has to stop with you. Right or wrong, the train is going to stop with you as the head coach, right? And we all know, if it comes down to, again, this was never going to happen, but like Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott's going, you know, every day and twice on Sunday, right? I mean, that's just not going to happen. So, and I will say, though, to your point, too, also, I mean, that turnover was bad, too. That James Cook fumble, though, that was bad. And it's crazy because
in what sense? What do you mean it was bad?
I mean, where it happened, like they were in scoring position. And like, don't get me wrong, Josh Allen, yeah, his turnover was bad too, but like
I think James Cook's fumble was I think it was bad in terms of where it was and like in the game.
Right.
But I think it was more of a great defensive play.
It was
something that like James Cook could have prevented.
But he's also James Cook is the leading rusher in the NFL this year, right? He's also the leading running back with fumbles.
Yes,
7 fumbles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
so it was definitely a pattern, but it was almost like anybody getting popped like that. Fair. It was like a perfect hit to force a fumble.
Fair. It's just, I don't know. That's a bad look for him.
I mean, definitely.
That's a bad look for him.
Absolutely. But as the game went on, it was just
they were playing catch up.
Yeah, they were playing catch up throughout the game. Definitely want to give credit to the Broncos for forcing the turnovers and
their Super Bowl, but
right. Yeah, there's no way they're
gonna even know. Just, I don't even know how Bo Nix, like I keep rewatching that play. He looks totally fine.
Yeah, I did not. I was very unaware
that he dropped it. Like he broke his like how?
Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
He rolled out left, got a few yards, walked back to the huddle like it was nothing. I legit don't know what happened.
Maybe it was just adrenaline affecting him. So I was not expecting that.
Not at all.
Definitely expecting them to lose next week to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Which was bringing me to the point where I was going to bring up that the Texans basically blew their
best chance.
Almost their first chance of an AFC championship, because they're the only NFL team that's never made a conference championship.
Yeah.
And effectively ruining their one chance at basically a free Super Bowl, because there's no way Jared Stidham was going to be able to put up points on that Houston Texans defense.
Right.
CJ Stroud could have turned the ball the only way.
I don't know
how he would have had to set records, which is now. And I know all season, all last episode, I've been screaming at the top of my lungs, wins are not a QB stat.
Yes.
I do not think a quarterback can single-handedly win you a game. But man, oh man, can he lose
you a game. Can he lose you a game? Okay, well then that, you can't have it both ways.
You can. You can, because it was nothing, because he can't score touchdowns by himself. Uh-huh. He can't move the ball by himself.
Yes.
But he can turn the ball over by himself.
He can't. Listen.
And he did.
C.J. Stroud, you know Texas fans. I know Texas fans. I was talking to them earlier today. I mean, they are very close to just being all out on C.J. Stroud. I'll say this. I absolutely believe D'Amico Ryan should have benched him at the half. I mean, you throw three picks like that. And the thing is, like,
it was four in the first half.
Was it four in the first half?
Yeah, all four in the first half.
I feel like you're right. But I mean, watching him, dude, he looked like a deer in headlights. The first interception, when he threw the first one, that's when I knew, bro, he threw that up for grabs. He didn't want to take the sack.
That was
he didn't want to take the sack. Decision. So he threw it up and you threw a pick six.
Threw a meatball sub. that was an awful decision.
I do not know where Houston went wrong with him in terms of rookie season to now. Like, what happened? I'm asking Houston Texans fans, like, what happened? Because it's funny when you look back at his draft, right? Bryce Young goes one, CJ goes two. Bryce Young started his career, he can't figure it out. Panthers are a dumpster fire organization, right? It's just bad on top of bad, right? And that really lasted for like a season and a half. But Bryce, he got steady, right? He got steady, led the Panthers to the playoffs this year, and it seems like he's ascending, right? CJ started off crazy hot, right? 4,000 yards as a rookie, taking them to the playoffs.
Oh, winning the playoff game.
Right. Oh, this is it. And mind you, this is coming off of Deshaun Watson. We all thought the Texans were going to be down and out for years.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't look like that was the case. And ever since his rookie season, he has just declined. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. And really, Houston has a decision to make, because soon you're going to have to, you know, decide whether or not you're going to pay this guy long term.
Right. No, yeah, I have two Texans friends. One definitely wants him gone.
Yeah.
One, the main one who was saying he had a decent game last time.
Aside from the turnovers,
he's still in. But I brought it up saying that, like, he might not get re-signed. And then
his option might get declined.
Right. He thinks he will. But I'm like, I mean, he's not going to, regardless of that, I don't think he'll exit. It really kind of depends on what Bryce does, because,
well, they already picked up Bryce's option.
Yeah, in terms of
next season,
like, if it's up to CJ, he's gonna want the money. Now they're gonna be up to that's why I said he might not get resolved.
Yeah,
because the team might not agree. They might not want to give him money.
You know what's crazy though? Did you hear what Will Anderson said?
Oh, he still told him he's like the best.
He's the best quarterback ever. Worried. Yeah, and I'm like, dude. I'm watching that and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be like J.J. Watt all over again, right? Star edge player is just ride or die for his teammates no matter what until he wants out.
I mean, that's what
he's a great teammate. Yeah, you're supposed to say that, right? But I mean, yeah, dude, Houston.
You know, he thinks like they'll sign him for less. And I'm like, is he going to accept?
That's not how the market works. We know how the market works. Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
But then you think about it, they have Will Anderson, and like the way
they have a championship defense right now.
But think the way the market works.
Yeah,
these young guys are about to start getting our people. Dak had get 60. Josh Allen has 55. Justin Herbert, Jordan Love are all at 55. If they're getting 55 to 60 million a year,
yeah.
Then you look at what Michael Parsons just got, what Myles Garrett just got, what they're getting,
yeah.
They're about to have $100 million between a young quarterback and a young DN, they're gonna have to make a decision,
yeah.
And you know, Will Anderson is ascending, first time all pro.
Yeah.
CJ, he's ascending. CJ is, I mean, he's not. It's not Leo. He obviously has a chance to rise,
yeah.
But They have some decisions to
They
make.
Do, and I just... I think they really, like, D'Amico Ryans, because at this point, heading into next year, like, I'm looking at him for this too, right? Because it's like, you fired Bobby Slowick after two seasons, right? The guy you brought in, Nick something, I can't remember, Nick Haley, I think his name is, or whatever, but, you know, obviously there's a disconnect with whatever is happening, you know, in the facility with his offensive coaches now, with his QB coach, his offensive coordinator, whatever. There is a disconnect happening in terms of his development and growth. And y'all have to figure that out. You have to figure that out, and you have to figure out if that's salvageable. Because if it is, you got to find the right person to get them in there. If it's not, cut your losses and gear up, right? I mean, you still got Davis Mills, who, I mean, we saw Davis Mills, you know, be the starter for a season. He's serviceable at times, right? I mean,
he came in this season.
He led y'all to three wins when CJ was out with a concussion. I don't know, dude. Like, Houston, they got some tough questions to ask themselves. And I really don't know what happened. Like, I mean, do you have a theory as to what happened?
I just think that rookie seasons are kind of not much to judge off of, whether it be good or bad. I think, especially in this situation, when it is good, teams get taped, they see what you like to do, what you're good at, what you're bad at.
Yeah.
They're able to, you know, capitalize all that, and then it's up to you, like you said, with your coaching staff, your quarterback coach, your offensive coordinator, your head coach. It's for y'all to, you know, fix the little problems you have to excel your career and just to where you're, you know, always getting better. And I just haven't really seen that from him since that rookie year.
Right. I don't know. It's crazy because now I'm thinking about it too, like, you know, there's like a trend, like Ohio State quarterbacks, they're never good in the NFL. Like, never, right?
Yeah, he was the one.
Right. Everybody's like, okay, CD's going to break the trend. Maybe not. I don't know. And I'm not even just saying that because I'm a Michigan fan. And like, I grailed the Buckeyes downfall. Like, it's a fact.
Yeah, the evidence is there for
right,
sure.
Right. So,
what was Zeke's quarterback's name?
Zeke's quarterback?
Yeah.
He had, oh my God.
Jacoby Brissett. Did he go?
No, not Jacoby Brissett. There was Cardale Jones. There was Braxton Miller,
that's what I'm thinking.
He transitioned to receiver when he got to the league. Yeah, so Troy Smith didn't pan out in the league. Terrell Pryor didn't pan out in the league.
Right.
Right?
I remember him like from NCAA back in the day. He was good,
but
not in the league.
Right, like you could just go down the list. Buckeye quarterbacks do not do well in the NFL. And maybe CJ, you know, is continuing that trend. Maybe he can bust out of this. I don't know, but what I do know is C.J. Stroud has to figure it out, or the Houston Texans will, hopefully, right? I mean, I'm honestly shocked D'Amico Ryans didn't bench him in the playoff game. Like, I'm shocked he didn't bench him against the Patriots.
I mean, he came around and said there was never going to be an option. C.J. was their guy from jump, so.
I don't know, man. Because like when the season's on the line, like, and here's the thing, that's another point I wanted to make. I thought about that too, right? It's like there are only a handful of guys who have earned enough leash to justify throwing four picks in the first half of a playoff game and me being like, okay, nah, he's earned it. He'll go get us. We'll sink or swim with him.
Right.
There's only a handful of guys. Handful. Right? The Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, whether you agree or disagree with the Josh Allens, right? I'm gonna throw him in here not just because he's my quarterback, but like he's proven it on the biggest stage. He's the Super Bowl MVP, the Jalen Hurts, right? I'm assuming you want to throw Dak in there.
I wouldn't throw a single one of those quarterbacks in that conversation.
Is there anybody you would?
No. If they were
so you think any,
those specific picks,
yes.
Get off my field.
So any quarterback can get off the field with that?
Yes. They were
okay.
Those were some of the worst.
I don't disagree.
Throws I've ever like.
I don't disagree.
Especially with that defense, where it's like, man, all you gotta do is not turn the ball over, and we can win this.
Okay, but would you agree with the notion that like there are only a few guys that should have enough leash for that situation?
No, I don't think nobody's leash should be four interceptions.
Okay.
Tom Brady, maybe, to where I'm like, four interceptions is just unfathomable in one half of a playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfathomable in any game, but
right.
Okay.
Like,
so Brady's the only guy that would get some leeway from you.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. I hear what you're saying. I'm saying that all to say CJ Stroud would have been sent on the pine immediately. Yeah. Immediately if I was their coach. I'm surprised DeMeco didn't make that move. I'm like, I mean, dude, your season's on the line. And this man, this kid cannot figure it out. It's very evident he can't figure it out. He's rattled for whatever reason. Get him out the game. I don't know why they didn't make that move. I think it cost them a chance to get to the AFC Championship game, to play a Denver Broncos team that is without a quarterback.
Yep.
Right? I mean, because the Patriots, I mean, say what you want. Drake May, he had a pedestrian game. He had like 3 or 4 touchdowns, but like he had a pedestrian game.
There's been a lot of bad quarterback play. Like,
oh, I'm not even gonna say bad. He was a pedestrian. Like, he had a few fumbles, but like, I mean, the Texans defense is just top notch.
Yeah, but I think
I don't think he played bad. I wouldn't say Drake May played bad.
I guess.
I mean, he had, I think, 4 touchdowns, but he only threw for like 180 yards.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like he had a pedestrian game. But he didn't throw 4 picks, right? They were pretty efficient for the most part, and they didn't turn the ball over, right? I mean, they had a few fumbles, like they didn't turn the ball over that much. In playoff football, I mean, it really comes down to turnover battle, third down efficiency, red zone efficiency, right? Like the simple things that you harp on throughout the regular season, right? They're talking about CJ Stroud, like he didn't turn the ball over like
at all. Yeah, all season.
Right. And then like these past 2 playoff games, he's turned the ball over 7 times.
Yeah, he because I think he came out and specifically said the fumbles after, because in the first playoff game, it was fumbles. This playoff game, it was picks.
Interception against Pittsburgh was bad too, though.
Right. Because he had a whole bunch of fumbles and a pick in that game. And then I think he had just a whole bunch of picks.
Right.
In this one. And so after the first game, he was saying, like, oh, he hadn't really fumbled all season. It's like, well, I mean, fumbling now, it's almost, that makes it even worse that you hadn't fumbled all, but now
when
you're too.
When your absolute best is required, you're giving us nothing.
Right.
Right. So
No, you're giving us less than nothing. You're giving them everything.
Ooh, yeah. So, Texas fans, I'm sorry. I feel for you. I feel for you. Y'all got some soul searching to do this offseason. It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, the decision they make with CJ Stroud. Like, do you pick up his option? Do you decline his option? I mean, do you start looking ahead to not this year's draft, but 2027? Because you got some good quarterbacks coming out there, man. I mean, golly, you just... That, and see, that's the thing. NFL teams nowadays, right, they try to find their guy quarterback and try to maximize the championship window on the quarterback's rookie deal, right? Because that's when you can go bring in top-notch free agents and you can make trades and splashes and all this and that. And the Texans, I mean, you got everything is there other than the quarterback, and I'll say the running back, because they got to figure out what's happening with Joe Mixon and really that position moving forward.
Yeah.
Because Nick Chubb, he's old. Woody Marks, I like him. I don't think he's a feature running back. And, but I mean, everything else is there. Everything else is there. So the Texans got some stuff to figure out, man. They definitely have some things to figure out. But, you know, we kind of alluded to it earlier. Well, we talked about it earlier with, you know, Sean McDermott getting the boot in Buffalo. I thought about this. Would you be open to him coming to Dallas as a DC?
Yeah. Because
that's what he was. He was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think the Bills' defense hasn't been really a problem for the, like, in their losses. So I wouldn't mind that at all. But we're really hoping for the passing game coordinator out of Denver now that, well.
Is that who y'all talking to?
We've talked to a few different people.
Yeah, who have y'all talked to?
Oh, man, the list is long. I should.
I'll tell you who I don't want anybody to hire.
Who?
Philadelphia Eagles defensive backs coach Christian Parker.
He's on the list.
I don't want him leaving. He just coached 2 All Pros. Leave that man alone, please. I guess also too, some of y'all would have heard about this by now, but Mike McDaniels, he is now the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers. Robert Saleh is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Who else? Somebody else got hired. Oh, Kevin Stefanski to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, did you see Baker Mayfield taking shots?
Didn't.
Oh, okay. So basically a reporter was, I think he was an Atlanta reporter. He was basically alluding to like Kevin Stefanski's running in Cleveland, was talking about basically Kevin Stefanski was struggling with quarterback play in Cleveland. And he said, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson failed, right? Which then led to having 11 starters. Then you finish out with Shedeur Sanders, right? He used that those words exactly, right?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield quoted it and said, failed is quite the reach. Basically saying like, I still haven't gotten a call from that guy, referring to Kevin Stefanski. I haven't gotten a call or text from that guy since the whole thing went down. He basically said, I'm going to be looking forward to playing my old coach twice a year, which he's absolutely right. Baker Mayfield got done so wrong in Cleveland. Definitely. So wrong. And I'll say to this day, I don't know how much Kevin Stefanski fought to keep Baker over Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I don't know. But the way that whole thing played out, they did him absolutely dirty.
For sure. I agree 1,000%, bro. Now, that going back to the Cowboys,
yeah, who y'all?
So it is Christian Parker, Jim Leonard, and Jonathan Gannon. Those are like the main candidates right now.
Yeah. And
I mean, I wouldn't be upset with any more. So I'm looking at Jim Leonard and Parker just because I like what they're doing as like position coaches in their respective teams, the Philadelphia and Denver right now. So,
yep.
I mean, like you said, he's coaching two all pros, and then over in Denver, he's coaching the defensive player of the year.
Right.
And I mean, that's definitely an area where we're severely lacking in terms of like our passing defense right now. I feel like our run defense greatly improved in terms of our personnel throughout the season. So now we got a coach who can kind of focus more on the passing game. So, I'm liking the direction they're looking to go in.
Yeah. Well, obviously in Philly, we're looking for the coordinator on the opposite side of the ball, you know, looking for a new OC. Like I just mentioned, Mike McDaniels is now the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. So his name is out of the running. Mr. Fancy's name is out of the running. There's some talk of us looking at Charlie Weiss. He's a college guy. He's Lane Kiffin's offensive coordinator of LSU. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. There's some talk of Brian Daboll, but there's also some talk now because Buffalo needs a head coach. There's some talk of Brian Daboll running it back to Buffalo and being the head coach there. I could absolutely see that happening. Who else are they talking about? There was a whole list. I can't remember. It was like 12 guys, but like I just listed like half the guys that are no longer, you know, available, obviously. But man, I need to find this list. No, I'm sorry. I can't remember who the other names were for some reason.
Yeah. No, it's definitely
it's a long list. Like, we're definitely taking our time with this, which I'm happy about.
For sure. No, we're doing the same thing with, like, bringing in a lot of different guys. They had a first, like, round of interviews with a lot of different people on Zoom. And now they're actually starting to bring people in the building, so.
Right. Oh, my God. See, this list has 19 guys. The first list I saw had 12. Let me see. Brian Daboll, just talked about him. I wouldn't be mad at Brian Daboll. You know, he has a previous relationship with Jalen Hurts. Granted, it was the season he got benched at Alabama, but, I mean, who's to say that wasn't Nick Saban and you know, Brian Daboll, you know, didn't say, like, oh, we need to bench. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mike McNeil, he's out. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury. I like Cliff. I don't love Cliff. Like, if we got him, I'd be cautiously optimistic. I just feel like for as great of an offensive guy as he's, you know, claimed to be, like, I feel like everywhere he goes, like, it ends up getting stagnant.
Mm.
Yeah, to me personally, but. Who was Joe Brady? They're talking Joe Brady, but I mean, he might get the Buffalo head coaching job now. They're talking about that. Nate Shilhas, I can't. The Rams pass game coordinator, which he is getting a lot of love for a potential head coach. Like, this guy's coming out of nowhere. So I think people, like, I think he's going to get a head coaching job. I mean, I just, every day people bring his name up more and more, from what I see at least. Him and what's the guy's name? Grant Oldrick or whatever. He's like 30.
Dang.
I forgot where he's a coordinator at right now, but Thomas Brown, that's a new name. Kind of a new name. Charlie Weiss, I just mentioned. Josh Gazzard, the Bucks old offensive coordinator. I'm kind of cool on him. I mean, granted, Tampa Bay didn't have a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball, but I don't know. A lot of people are saying he'd basically be a better version of Kevin Betula. And I'm like, oh, if you're telling me anything this man does,
if it's related to anyone.
I'm good off of that. Mike Kafka, Giants former offensive coordinator and head coach. That's a no for me. I didn't like the offense he was running when he was offensive coordinator. You know, in New York, I kept asking my Giants friend, like, are we sure like Mike Kafka is a part of the issue? Because like, I feel like your offense can never get anything going.
Right.
David Shaw, that is an interesting name. David Shaw, former Stanford head coach. He coached up Andrew Luck. Stanford had a really good offense when he was there. He's under the Jim Harbaugh tree. So I don't know how I feel about that, but I mean, he did develop Andrew Luck, so I'm not mad at that. Who else? Bobby Slowick. I did see that. Bobby Slowick. Now, I saw that name, and that intrigued me, right? Because Bobby Slowick, obviously, the co-creator of C.J. Stroud's most successful season in the NFL, also his rookie year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got fired in Houston after the second year. From what I read, he got fired because, you know, it was poor O-line play and just the offense couldn't get it going. I don't know how much of that was Bobby Slowick's fault, right? I mean, I don't know, but I know he's been in Miami, being the passing game coordinator, which I don't know how you feel about that because, you know, Tua obviously was not it. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Davis Webb, that's an interesting one. He's young. Frank Reich, our old offensive coordinator, I wouldn't be mad if we brought him back. Jim Bob Cooter, he's a retread. Matt Nagy, absolutely not. I don't want Matt Nagy nowhere near the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? Zach Robinson, the guy, Atlanta's offensive coordinator. You know, a lot of people are like, you know what? I wouldn't be mad at that. I mean, to me, I saw a guy do the best with what he had in Atlanta, right? Michael Penix Jr. got hurt. She's still learning how to play, you know, the position in the NFL, but he was getting Bijan the ball. Like, he was getting his guys the ball.
Yeah.
Right? So I won't be mad at Zach Robinson. Greg Roman, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't want Greg Roman nowhere near the Philadelphia Eagles either. Nowhere near. Josh McCown, Arthur Smith, no. No, yeah. No, 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 no.
And he was awful. And no,
No. So, yeah, you know, obviously, every day, he's gone now. That was probably the top candidate. I wouldn't be mad at Bobby Slowick. I wouldn't be mad at Brian Daboll. I wouldn't be, you know what? Like I said, I want somebody that's going to come in and bring continuity, right? Someone that's going to be there for the long haul, at least the next 3 to 4 years. Just give Jalen and the offense stability, right? That's what we need. And we need creativity, man. We need creativity. So, yeah, you know, the Cowboys, obviously, their hunt goes on for the defensive coordinator spot. Our hunt continues for the offensive coordinator spot, and it'll be interesting to see who the teams bring in respectively.
Green, like you said, both teams are taking their time. So, gonna let's sit back, let them do that. Hopefully, we bring in the right guy because I feel like both teams on the side of the ball that's already established, we both feel like they're in a great spot. The other side just has to do half of their part.
Right.
But the team can be a lot better. So
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, now it's conference championship weekend coming up. And we mentioned it before, we got the Broncos playing the Patriots. I mean, unless Jared Stidham has a Nick Foles moment.
Right.
Like, legit. Unless Jared Stidham has a Nick Foles moment, it is over for the Denver Broncos.
Right.
The Patriots should win that game pretty handily. Right? No shade to Jared Stidham. It's just like,
it is what it is.
Dude, your first start this season is going to be the AFC Championship game? Are you kidding me?
That's the first start of his career, right?
I don't know if it's the first start of his career. Because I think he was with Sean Payton in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
If that's his first start of his career, So, yeah, we're both in agreement. New England should make, I'm not going to say.
Okay, he started 4 games before.
Right, okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. I mean, I will say, Stidham has been Sean Payton's guy through it all.
paid him a contract and everything to come be the backup.
Yeah, yeah. Like he has been Sean Payton's guy through thick and thin. So I maybe Sean Payton truly sees something that we haven't had a chance to see in Jarrett Stidham. And like I said, unless he has a Nick Foles run, it's over for the Denver Broncos. Prayers of the Bo Nix, but it's over. I got the Patriots winning that game pretty easily now. I'm assuming you do too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So on to the NFC Championship game. The Rams versus the Seahawks, division rivalry, running it back.
This should be a great game.
Yeah, dude, but you know what? I will say, watching Seattle, they flew around.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. I had the 49ers upsetting Seattle, but, I mean, the Seahawks flew around. Sam Darnold, he didn't even have to do much.
Right.
Like, if C.J. Stroud did what Sam Darnold did, the Texans would be in the AFC Championship game right now.
Literally.
Right? Sam Darnold didn't have to do anything.
I think it'll be different this game. I think the 49ers are...
I mean, they're injured and...
Yeah, I think the Rams, their offense is much more equipped to force Sam Darnold to have to do something.
Let me see who... Because I think the Seahawks won the last time they played this season.
They split throughout the season, though?
I think so, I believe. Let me see. Seattle. I think Seattle won the last time they played, though.
I know the Rams won 21-19 in November.
Yeah, they lost 19-21. The Seahawks did. Mm. And then they won 38-37. Okay, so. Right. Okay, so they play each other tough. They play each other, which makes sense, you know, division rivals. They play each other tough. Man, yeah, no, you're right. It has the makings of a really good NFC Championship game. If I had to pick, I'm going to go. Actually, this is tough. My head is telling me Seattle, but my heart is saying the Rams.
Yeah.
Seattle has the better defense. The Rams defense is no slouch, but Seattle has a top-notch defense. Sam Darnold, I mean, if he literally just manages the game, I mean, the Seahawks could very easily find themselves 21-7 very quickly, right? But I don't know. Something is telling me the Rams might have something to say about that, man. I don't know. I gotta think about this for a second. Do you have a pick right now?
I'm picking the Rams.
Okay.
I want the Rams to win. Active. I need one more game to complete my overall just hate perfect watch. Perfect playoff hate watch. Just one more Seahawks. A Seahawks loss would complete.
Is it because of DeMarcus?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. And I'm normally like the DeMarcus Ware. He left, went and won a Super Bowl.
But he didn't talk. DeMarcus didn't talk. Yeah, he didn't talk trash.
And a lot of people, they're all a lot of Cowboys fans. I've seen Seahawks fans. They're saying, "Oh, Tank was right," because the nickname is Tank. DeMarcus Tank Lawrence.
Because you said he right. Dallas was right. He never get into a Super Bowl.
No, Tank was lucky.
No. I'm saying that's what you said.
Yeah, I'm saying that everyone is saying Tank was right. Tank was right.
Yeah,
Tank was lucky. When he joined that team, they didn't have a quarterback. Their wide receiver one was everyone was looking at as a bust. And there was no way anyone could have predicted the success they're currently having.
Wait, who? You talking about DK?
No. The Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Nobody was looking at him as a bust.
Yes, they were.
No, they were? Who? Where did you see that?
He was awful before this season.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yes.
I'm not, I don't.
What are you talking about?
I will not subscribe to the thought that Jackson Smith and Jigba was a bust.
What? How? How was he not?
Lando, he wasn't a bust. I don't know how you...
Yeah, because he's not. No, he's the best receiver in the league.
He wasn't a bust in his rookie year, though. Like,
He was coming. If you were expecting him this to be the number one receiver, he had a very exciting rookie year.
That's not what they. Well, initially they didn't draft him to be the number one receiver, though.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. They still had DK.
They had DK and Tyler Lockett.
Right.
They were old aging that they were getting out of there.
Hold on. No. But they did not. They first of all, I don't even know. We don't even know when the trade rumbling started. When they thought they were going to get. When they were in the mindset of getting DK Metcalf. But I promise you, they did not. Because DK is only like 28. They did not draft Justin Ojigba.
You don't draft Justin in the first round if you would
say you do. Okay, wait, and with regards to Tyler Lockett, yes, you do.
Yes, you know.
Okay, so why? Okay, so let me ask you though. Emeka Buka with the Bucks, right? The Bucks still view very heavily. They still view Mike Evans, right or wrong. They still view him as their number one guy for the next 2 to 3 years.
No.
They still, yes, they do. They still took Emeka Buka.
That's a terrible decision because that's not a comparable decision because they do see him as that, and that's a terrible pick to use a first round pick on a guy at your second or third receiver.
I don't think so. Because if you have everything else, then no, you go get the best talent available.
But they didn't. Neither one of these teams had everything else.
I'm telling you, they did not draft Jackson Smith and Jigba. His rookie, like
he was the 20th pick.
Yes. What is your point?
Like, you don't use that's the
y'all traded what for George Pickens? What was
third round pick?
I mean, dude, you can
even us. You don't draft CeeDee Lamb 16th, even when you have Amari Cooper. If you don't want him to be that guy,
I promise you. The Seattle Seahawks did not draft Jackson Smith and Jigba to replace DK Metcalf. Like that may have been like the vision, like at the end of the tunnel. But I promise you, they envisioned having DK on one side, Jackson Smith on the other. Tyler Lockett, we knew because he was already pushing 30 plus, and he was already losing steam. Like he was already gone. But they did not take him to say, okay, fine, DK's out. I promise you, that was not the initial plan.
Even they did it this year before he was even this good.
What are you talking about? Trade DK?
Yes.
Yeah,
they
but
traded that, him before they traded off one. So they made that decision off this one season where he had barely had 1,000 yards.
Yes.
No, that's not
right. No, but I said okay. We don't. They see stuff that we don't see. Right? The practice behind the scenes in the building, in the facility, whatever. They see all the behind the scenes stuff. It's the same dude with the Packers and Jordan Love. Right? On paper, everybody thought the Packers were crazy for giving Jordan Love the contract, and it's like he's only played one season. Right? But they drafted him in the first round. He didn't play for the next 3 years.
You get with that because quarterbacks, especially the Packers, they draft a guy to trade him behind the guy. They don't do that with receivers.
No, they don't. Okay, Lando, I promise you. First of all, number one, Jackson Smith and Jigba was not a bust.
He was being looked at as, is this the guy we drafted 20th overall to be our number one guy? I don't know.
I did not see anybody questioning that.
I saw everybody because I wanted Jackson Smith and Jigba on my team from the moment he was in college.
I did not see anybody nor Seahawks fans questioning that pick after his rookie year. I didn't see it. And I didn't question it either, honestly.
I saw it very rampantly.
Well, me and you, we live in different NFL circles, I guess. I don't know. But regardless, go ahead. You're taking the Rams because DeMarcus Lawrence is talking mess about the Dallas Cowboys and
got lucky. He doesn't deserve to be proven right, quote unquote.
Okay. And that is your sole number one reason for picking against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. And he was...
Has DeMarcus Lawrence, he's had a pretty good season though, right?
He's played way better than he was playing at the end of his career in Dallas.
Right.
And that was with Micah Parsons on the other side.
Well, hey, we talked about it, right? You know, if you're playing for a team that you feel like, right or wrong, that you feel like is not, you know.
No, I don't want to hear that. He said, we just got tired. What the heck?
Dallas, he said that.
Yes. The quote, line for line, bar for bar, said after the Packers playoff game, they just were tired at the end of the season. As the second seed, hosting the seventh seed at home, getting 42 if you just have to, because Dak threw a pick six, on your head at home, and y'all, because they were tired.
Yes.
And now he's playing like he's
20 years old.
Refreshed. Right, right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, gun to my head, if I had to pick right now, I think I'm with you. I think I'm with the Rams. I'll say that because, I mean, ideally the Rams force Sam Darnold to make decisions, right? And we all know, because he didn't have to do much against the 49ers, but, you know, push come to shove, Sam Darnold, he's prone to making that one big mistake. So I think Matthew Stafford will outduel him. And I think the Rams will make it back to the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. And then, you know, we'll see what happens come Sunday. We'll see what happens. But before we get on out of here, it's time for What Say You? And this week's topic is best movie franchises. You thought of this. So what say you? What are the best movie franchise or franchises to you?
So like in a standalone, like separate from the books, I think Harry Potter are like the
very good choice.
Number one. Now, compared to the books, they leave a lot out, but that's a whole nother story.
And that's like every book that turns into a film, right? For the most part.
I think the Percy Jackson, actually, a lot of people hate those, but as someone who's read the books extensively, I think the movies did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I like
the show, too, they got out now.
Yeah, I need to finish the second season, but...
Oh, is the whole second season out?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know the whole second season was out.
Yeah, for sure. I think Percy Jackson, well, that's more of a book series because they haven't finished with the
yeah, they only came out with Lightning Thief, right, for the movie?
They did See a Monsters, too.
Okay, yes.
And now the show is they finished the first season, which was Lightning Thief, so now they're taking on See a Monsters. But, and then my all-time, like, favorite franchise is the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh,
I think they are... amazing. I think they're entertaining. I think they're action-packed. I think anybody who's looking at them to be realistic,
yeah,
is just, it'd almost be like going to a tragedy movie and expecting to laugh. Like I don't understand why that's what you're looking for in a movie like that. It is what like they have literally gone to space at this point.
Yes.
It is what it is.
You don't think that's too much?
No, because that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Again, it'd be too much if I was expecting them to be realistic.
Where are you at on the? Because I am of the belief that I feel like they should have stopped making the movies after Paul Walker died.
I think they could have, and it would have been the perfect place to do it. But I don't have a problem with them not stopping.
So not any of the movies that have come out in the recent years, like with the Hobbs and like you said, they're in space and stuff.
I never watched Hobbs and Shaw, the spinoff where it was just The Rock and Jason Statham.
Yeah.
But when they're a part of it, no, I don't think it's too much at all. The my favorite like scene in any of the movies is the last one with Paul Walker. He's literally fighting a dude on a bus. The bus falls off a cliff. It's like hanging off the cliff. He climbs out as it's like falling, runs up the side of the bus, jumps off. Letty comes and drifts the side of her Challenger to the side of the cliff, and he could just hang and jumps and launches. And that's the correct, so amazing to me.
I have an appreciation for like the early 2000 Fast and Furious movies.
I think even then, they have never just, everyone else says, oh, they need to just get back to racing. They were never just about racing. The very first one, the main storyline is the whole Chinese mafia gang and they're doing heists and stuff.
Yeah.
They've always been heist movies that had an element of racing, and they still are that. They still race in every movie.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think they should have stopped after Paul Walker died. But like I said, I did have an affinity for the early Fast and Furious movies in the early 2000s. I really, you know what? My favorite one, honestly, is probably that Tokyo Drift one. I really did like that one.
That one is probably the one that's most about racing.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Like what we thought. Oh.
It's the one. It's like the one that's almost has nothing to do with the rest.
Yeah.
They tie it back in towards like with some of the later movies and stuff. But when it first came out, it had pretty much nothing to do with the rest.
When Han died, or we thought he died, I guess, but I don't know. Cause I don't think I watched enough. Did they explain how he was alive? And
no, not really.
Oh, see, what the? Come on, man. What the?
And the crazy thing is, he's died like twice. Because the way they kind of, like I said, they tied it back in. They made
it to where Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, but they made it to where Tokyo Drift happened like after Fast like 7, I think. So it was really in chronological order, it would be after the 7th one. Oh. And so then that's when he actually died. But then in like the 9th or 10th one, he came back again. And I don't care.
Okay. I have an issue with that. Okay, Fast and Furious, Harry Potter, honorable mention, Percy Jackson. All those are good choices. For me, it's only two movies, but
Kill Bill.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know me, man. I mean, that's my favorite movies of all time in order. Pulp Fiction, one. Kill Bill Volume 2 at number 2. Kill Bill Volume 1 at number 3. Okay. I literally just went to go watch a re-release of Kill Bill. It was Volume 1 and 2 together. And they had like a whole, like, they had a collab with Fortnite. So, like, it was an extended movie. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, I happily spent my Saturday. The movie started at like 2. I left the theater at 7. Mm. Like, I was in there for the long haul. There was an intermission and everything. Yeah, for me, it's Kill Bill, hands down. And to this day, if Quentin Tarantino wants to do a Kill Bill 3, it is right there for the taking, okay? Black Mamba, her, Vernetta Green, mm-hmm. her daughter.
It should be an adult now.
Saw Beatrix murder her mother, okay? She witnessed it, and Beatrix Kiddo even told her to her face.
Who's ready?
If you have feelings about this later, come find me. Come find me. Quentin, what are we doing? Let's make this happen, please. Please. If I had to pick another one, let me think. Because, I mean, I'm with you. Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. I really do. If I had to think of one that was not Harry Potter.
Have you read the books?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever, like, I actually never realized just how much they left out of the books until I sat down, because me and Lance, we love Harry Potter. But he's only seen the movies. And then one of our other friends, Christian, he had never seen them. And so we sat down one weekend, watched the whole marathon.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, I have to explain so much to him for like the actual story. And I was like, I never realized that, but it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. No, I've noticed that when it comes to like books turned into movies, or, you know, recently video games turned into shows and whatnot, like The Last of Us. Like, I love The Last of Us video game. That's literally the best video game I've ever played. The HBO show leaves a lot to be desired in terms of what they left out, which I'm not a fan of. Golly, dude, if I had to pick another movie franchise.
And it's almost just like, since you know the actual story for yourself, you kind of just fill in the holes.
Yes.
Because like specifically, they never even explain like how his dad and all his homeboys were the people who created the map, and they were the marauders and all that. Like, they explain how he like bullied Snape.
Yeah.
They never even went in depth saying like why they like turned into animals, and like, all right. It drives so much.
It's a lot. Yeah. Oh my gosh. My brain is like blinking on movie franchise right now, so I think I just got to stick with my Kill Bill, man. But if you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor and watch it.
I got a couple other trilogies I want. The Rush Hour trilogies and the Friday trilogies are some of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And then it was only two, like Kill Bill, but 21 and 22 Jump Street are some of my, those are like hilarious to me.
Any movies? Am I missing any franchises? Well-known.
We got Bad Boys.
Bad Boys was good. I mean, I guess... you know what? Okay, I'll say this. The Christopher Nolan Batman, like they had Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, really good series. To me, I love... Those are my favorite Batman movies, hands down. The initial Spider-Man trilogy, really rock the Toby ones.
Yeah,
I really rock with those.
Toby's definitely my Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. So those are two honorable mentions for me for sure.
Oh man, you could really do the whole MCU because man, talk you about could. The franchise.
Hey, new Spider-Man, brand new day coming out in Avengers Doomsday this year.
Yep.
Did not wait.
Haven't seen, I think I mentioned it before, but I don't watch like movie trailers. So
you haven't seen the new ones that come out?
I've seen that it has came out, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
And so
there's four. It's Steve, it's Thor, it's Fantastic Four, and it's Black Panther.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
There's been rumors that it's going to be Damson Idris.
Yes. Which he didn't prefer or deny.
Right, which is always.
Do you want to see that?
Absolutely. I want it to be him. I don't want it to be
you. So you want to see the Black Panther character continued?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I do, but it's at the same time, it's kind of hard, right? Because I don't like Chadwick did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I think obviously it's a tragic, but
yes.
With the character he plays, it's almost like it's not, you don't want to say perfect, it's just almost like the diamond in the rough in the sense that the character he played, the mantle gets passed down from father to father. It does. So it only
makes sense. It'll be his son.
Right.
And, you know, so yeah, you're right. You're right in that regard. Have you heard about the running theory with the whole Robert Downey Jr., like Iron Man, Victor Von Doom thing, or?
No, I try not to look too much into it.
Okay, me and Jamal talked about it.
I feel like it'll just be like a different time.
Well, basically in the comics, right, Victor Von Doom and Iron Man, they fought and ended up like switching each other's bodies. Like, Iron Man's mind went to Victor Von Doom's body. Victor Von Doom's body went to Iron Man.
Right.
That's what people are saying. That's what they think is going to happen with this one. Which it would be interesting to see. I've only seen that happen in anime. So, yeah, shout out to Black Clover. But, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to those movies for sure.
Yeah. Like, man, like just the...
A lot of stuff on the docket for 2026.
Yeah, the MCU just coming to an end with Endgame, phase, whatever it was.
Right.
How that ended, I think, like, even with these next movies, I don't know if that'll be able to be recreated.
No, but, you know, the show must go on, right?
Like, yeah, for sure. It'll be exciting.
That was the question, right? Like, how do you move past and evolve from Endgame, right?
Well, I feel like that was more of a question because you kind of thought that was the actual end game for certain characters. You didn't think Robert Downey Jr. was coming back.
You didn't think Captain America was coming back.
Right.
Yeah, and no, so like, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this plays out with Doomsday come November, I think.
Yeah, I think it's
November, right, December, something like that. But yeah, we'll definitely see how those go. But what say you, man? Cowboys fans, who do y'all want to bring in for the defensive coordinator spot? Eagles fans, who do y'all want us to bring in? Texans fans, are you through with CJ Stroud? Are you through? Do y'all need to draft somebody come 2027? Do you take a Lenore Sellers? Do you try to go get an Arch Manning? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Y'all let us know how you feel. Patriots fans, do you think y'all are going to walk all over the Denver Broncos with no Bo Nix? Seattle fans, do y'all put a beating on the Rams? Do the Rams pull off an upset? Do they go into overtime? Is it a thriller? Who knows? Rams fans, is Matthew Stafford going to outperform and outduel Sam Darnold? Only time will tell.
Broncos fans, is Stidham your savior? Is he going to pull? And
maybe so, right? I missed that part. Is Jerry Stidham the guy?
Is he going to be Nick Foles 2.0?
Is he going to go on the most magical run we've ever seen? I don't know. What's your favorite movie franchise? Is it Harry Potter? Is it Fantastic Four? Is it Kill Bill? Maybe you like one that we didn't mention. Let us know in the comments. Thank y'all. Please like, comment, subscribe. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Am I missing anything?
No, we got it all.
Yeah, we got it all.
Keep up with us, man. We do this for y'all, so.
Right. Well, until next week, peace.
Later.